Good morning. There are a couple of announcements. Two are on the back, and I will be adding a third, which is always good. Once again, it's First Presbyterian's turn to help out with God's Storehouse. They have a backpack program, and if you could avail yourself of being at God's Storehouse on May the 2nd at 4 p.m. to help stuff these backpacks, it would really be appreciated. I'm just adding my two cents. I don't know if you know, but there are 17 million children in this country who don't know where their next meal is coming from. The second announcement is that the Presbyterian Women's Birthday Luncheon will be held Monday, May the 6th at 11:30 a.m. Please make plans to attend. Call the main office to reserve your place, and that will be Thursday, May the 2nd, and all of the women of the church are invited. Now, there's a third announcement, and I'm going to look back here at Brenna to make sure I get this straight. May the 18th? 15th. We work together. May the 15th, there will be a Low Country boil, and I believe the tickets are $10? Okay. $8. And you can call the office or probably go down back after church. Thank you. Please join me now in the reading of the responsive call to worship. Praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with the sounds of the trumpet, with tambourine and the dance. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Please join me now in the reading of the Litany of Assurance. We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our fathers and mothers raised Jesus, who was killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at God's right hand as leader and savior. Christ brings repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God has given to those who obey.
Okay, children can come forward. Okay, y'all can come closer this way. I feel all alone over here. Y'all gonna make me sit all alone? Okay, so I have a question for y'all. How many of y'all will admit that you've been afraid of something? How many of you adults will admit that you've been afraid of something? So at one point, we can say we've all been afraid of something. How many of y'all are afraid of the dark? Anyone afraid of the dark? What about storms? How many of y'all don't like storms? No. Okay, so you know what the Bible says about fear? It says when we're afraid that we need to trust in God. In Psalm 56, verse 3, it says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. So who do we need to turn to when we're afraid? So say there's like a really, really bad, really big storm. What do? You'll be happy? So say there's a really bad storm. We pray, right? And we talk to God. So let's just go ahead and pray right now. Y'all can repeat after me. Dear Lord, thank you for being with me when I am afraid. And I can put my trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please join me now in the reading of the Prayer of Illumination. God of mercy, you promise never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, may we hear your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives throughout Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first scripture lesson today comes from Acts 5, verses 27 to 32. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our gospel lesson for this morning deals with what Katie was talking about with the children and what Gail was reading about in the book of Acts. It deals with a group of fearful Christians gathered and wondering, where is the peace? From the 20th chapter of John, beginning in the 19th verse, this is after the resurrection, and the disciples are gathered behind locked doors. When it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And then we have this marvelous vignette with Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. In our passage from John's Gospel today, one word stands out above all the others. That word is peace, shalom. He says it to his disciples three times, "Peace be with you." Now, this is such an appropriate passage for the Sunday after Easter. Let's face it, last week we had a big crowd and we had wonderful music and beautiful flowers and many people dressed in new clothes. Children full of Easter eggs and other goodies. Then we get to this week, and there are not quite as many people. There is not as beautiful of flowers. This music is still wonderful, because with Heather and the choir, it is always wonderful. But the energy level is not quite the same. And maybe we rushed through breakfast just to get here on time. Easter is such a high point in the Christian year, and the week after, we all go back to normal levels of faith, or perhaps lack thereof. The old worries, the old doubts, the fears can overshadow the joy we celebrated last week. We may even have locked away our hopes and our excitement of worshiping a risen Lord because of the violence or the chaos or the uncertainty and fear of the real world, and that is an ever-present reality in our lives. We can easily identify with the disciples who locked themselves away from life for fear of the religious authorities. Jesus had spoken to the disciples about peace before. If you've been to any funeral in your life, you've probably heard about the exchange that Jesus has with his disciples just before his betrayal. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. He also explained to them the necessity of his departure and his relationship with the Heavenly Father. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. When Jesus comes through those locked doors and says, "Peace be with you," he's doing more than just saying, "Hi there." When you combine the "peace be with you" with "just as the Father has sent me, so I send you," he is telling them something that all Christians need to hear, that all Christians need to take heart. Those two little words in that sentence, "just as," are often ignored, but they are crucial to understanding the type of peace that Jesus is talking about, and very important to understanding what we are to do with the peace that he gives us. The peace that Jesus gave them and gives to us is not just some emotional high. It is not just some sense of wellness and wholeness that we are to keep to ourselves. Those two little words, "just as," remind us that we have a job to do, just as Jesus did it. Many times when we think of peace, we think of a lack of action. But with Jesus, it is just the opposite. Look at the sequence of events here. "Peace be with you, just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." There is a lot going on here. We are not just to sit around in a Zen-like state, absorbing peace into our souls. We are to go and do as Jesus has done for us. Our risen Lord commissions us to go, to continue the work of his earthly ministry. And that ministry is one of peace, one of shalom, of healing, of wholeness, of well-being, of reconciliation. When we pass the peace on Sundays, it is not just a time to say good morning and catch up on the news of the day. We are symbolically doing just what Jesus did that day. If you think about the little words that are often printed in the bulletin, they are mind-blowing. We are practicing within our worship service, those congregations that do this, exactly what we should be doing in the world every day. We should be offering, extending, living in a ways that further and foster peace. We should be telling the world about the saving, the healing, the wholeness, the mercy, the grace, and the love of Jesus Christ, just as the Father has sent us. If you look through the Westminster Theological Word Book of the Bible, although I doubt most of us would do that, it would remind us that the other definitions of peace, there are other definitions of peace in the New Testament. Kingdom of God, justice, justification and righteousness, reconciliation, joy, faith and salvation, love, wholeness and body and spirit. Next time you turn to someone in worship, keep all those things in mind. Keep them in mind as you live and move and have your being in the world as a disciple of Jesus Christ. What if people could look at we as individuals and us as a church, and see in what we do and what we say and how we treat other people the peace of Christ. What would we have, or what would we need to do to have that happen? What would we need to do? How would we need to live? What if they looked at us and could see a human version of the kingdom of God? What would they need to see justice, justification, and righteousness? It is a little easier to envision lives that show joy and faith. We have some idea of how we should live lives that are reconciled to others after being separated by anger or distance. We know what to do to help people feel loved and whole in body and spirit. But that is a weighty responsibility, and actions that won't always be easy. James Davison Hunter, in his book, To Change the World, The Irony, Tragedy, and Possibility of Christianity in the Late Modern World, points out, until God brings forth the new heaven and the new earth, God calls believers, individuals, and as a community, to conform to Christ and embody within every part of their lives the shalom of God. In this, Christians are to live toward the well-being of others, not just to those within the community of faith, but to all people. Christ models that type of peace by forgiving the sinners, by feeding the hungry, by healing the sick and visiting the infirm and raising the dead, loving the outsider, caring for all in need, and on top of all of that, being the peace that we need. The peace of Christ will be with us, with you, with everyone. We are to be witnesses to that exhibit the peace of Christ, even on what is sometimes called Low Sunday. That's this Sunday after Easter. Now, it's called that not just because the attendance is often low or the spiritual energy is low. The ancient church has had the tradition that the newest members of the church, who often were baptized on Easter and dressed all in white clothes since that time, were allowed to remove their baptismal garments and mingle with the rest of the faithful. Augustine, the bishop, told the new Christians one last time that lamentably, great mass of Christians no longer form a distinguishable band of the elect in this world. The new Christians would have to decide whether they would be in the party of the sheep or in the party of the goats. Would they live righteous and loving lives that showed the love of God, or would they go back to their earthly ways? Just as Jesus went out and mingled with the masses, proclaiming and offering peace, so too Christians of all ages and shapes and sizes and colors are to do likewise. We are to challenge each other to follow Christ's example. We are to show God's love and share God's love to all we meet. We are to unlock the doors of our hearts. We are to help others do the same. We are to overcome our fears, because Jesus has endured everything that we have been through. Jesus has conquered even death. What else could we possibly be afraid of? We are to live resurrection lives in the midst of a culture committed to the ways of sin and death. So where do we get that strength to follow our Lord? I like what Robin Strand once wrote in his book, Especially for the Hurting Heart. He has a wonderful discussion of Hebrews 13:5, in which we read these encouraging words. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you? Strand asks the question, what does never mean? And he notes that in the original language, never is really a compounding of five negatives. Not that each negative is added to another. Rather, each negative is multiplied by the others. According to Strand, it really should read, I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you or forsake you. It is a synergistic compounding negative. It is forever, never, with no exceptions. Then he asks, what does leave mean? And he says that in the original Greek, it means to leave behind, to abandon, to give up on, to send back. So then so far, our verse should read, I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you behind, abandon you, give up on you, or send you back. But finally, he points out, what does forsake mean? In the Greek, it means to leave one in a helpless state, to disregard. It can also be further expanded to include not relaxing my watchfulness over you. To this point, then, says Strand, our verse in the full amplified version reads, I will never, no, not ever, no, never give up on you, abandon you, leave you behind, cause you not to survive, leave you helpless, nor shall I ever relax concerning keeping my presence with you. Now that's a mouthful. But in other words, we can relax. For God, as Katie pointed out, will always be there for us. Peace be with you. And let us extend that peace to all whom we meet. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the Aids to Worship in the pew insert. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated in the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing our hymn of response, Christ is Alive, number 108.
Thank you.
seated. All right, we do have one additional prayer concern that's already been made known to me, and that is for Andrea Smith, Gail Gunn's cousin, who has been diagnosed with cancer, a very rare form of cancer, and she would like our prayers, and we will be glad to extend them to her. Do we have any other prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share today? Happy birthday to Heather, that's right. We have a lot of April babies. But happy birthday to Heather today. Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, ma'am. I have a friend who may have cancer in her eye, of all places. I never heard of it. And anyway, she goes in May, I think it's May 22nd.
What's her name? Martha McQueen. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? All right. If not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Bringer of peace to the nations, we herald the good news. Christ rises and we are risen with him. We are delivered from thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, for we were dead in our sins and Christ rescued us. Christ broke down walls of hostility that separated us from our brothers and sisters. We are saved to think of others with new appreciation for their gifts and talents. We are saved as part of your eternal plan for all of creation, and united with your people everywhere in one holy communion. Blend this diverse gathering of believers into one family who confess one faith and one baptism. Make the peace Christ gave us be the sinew that binds us together, the muscle that makes us strong to serve you, the bone that provides the structure for mission in the world. Keep us from petty rivalries, hasty judgments, and all facetious elements of life that sap the body's strength. Unite us in Christ. May we become your agents of reconciliation in the church, where class and race cause hurtful distinctions. Help us to proclaim the rainbow of your covenant promise, where people contend with one another over conflicting ideologies. Make us the mediators of their differences. In all that we do, breathe the Holy Spirit upon us so that we may stand united as brothers and sisters to the glory and praise of your holy name. And help us as we reach out to others through our prayers, bind us to them, and help them to know of the love and support we send their way. We ask that you would be with Andrea, with Brian, with Claudine, with Ruth, with Amy and Lisa, Will and Joseph. Be with Lib and Charles and Matthew and Diane. Be with Fred and Carolyn, Martha Jo and Greg, Bobby, Lisa, Gail and Laura, Beth and Bill. Lord, hear our prayers for Dana, for Sally, for Meg, for Friel, with Martha. Hear our prayers also for John, for Ella, for Mary Lou, for Drone. Lord, we continue to hold in our prayers Deborah, Jim, Leslie, Nolte, Bill and Ann, and Dave. Lord, we also have many prayers that we wish only you to hear, and so there are some that remain unnamed. Continue to be with our PNC as they continue their search for the next pastor. Lord, we give you thanks for healing and for wholeness for both James Jr. and James Sr., for Helen, for Willem, and continue to be with those who are in places where there seem to be no peace, where there needs to be a peace, a justice, whether that be in far-off lands such as Togo or other places, or in our own country. We ask that you would be with the shooting victims, wherever they may be, and for whatever reason those shootings may have occurred, bring about peace, comfort, healing. For there seems to be so little peace, and yet we know where the source of peace comes from, and we rely heavily on you, Lord, when violence seems to win the day. Hear our prayers and bind us together as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Will the deacons please come forward for the morning offering?
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, who sent Jesus, making the nations his heritage, the ends of the earth his possession, all that we have is a gift of your love. Our wealth is measured by the mercy you have shown us. Even life itself is due to your grace. Entrusted by Jesus as stewards of your dominion, we come before you with the fruits of our labor. Accept them as signs of our gratefulness and use them to further your rule over all creation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is hymn number 368, I've Got Peace Like a River.